Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. On the night of July 6th, 2019, in western Nebraska, a young father seemingly vanished into thin air. He was Chance Engelbert, a 25-year-old welder, cowboy, and newlywed, gone without a trace. Earlier that day, Chance had been visiting his in-laws when a casual round of golf turned tense due to some remarks about his new job that angered him. He told his wife he wanted to go back home to Wyoming. When she didn't agree to leave town, he got out of the car and walked away, alone, on foot, with a storm brewing overhead. Surveillance cameras later captured him walking through town, looking down at his phone like someone reading a map. He sent a final text that didn't sound like it came from him. And just like that, no one ever heard from him again. His disappearance ignited one of the most baffling manhunts in the region. Drones, cadaver dogs, hundreds of volunteers on the ground, on horseback, and ATVs across 2,400 acres. Yet despite all the efforts, they've never found a single clue. There are no answers. But there are rumors. Plenty of rumors, and a family that refuses to give up. Let's take a journey through the shadows of that night. A heavy storm, a man walking away, a heartbroken family, and the haunting question. What truly happened to Chance Engelbert? Before we dive deeper into the night Chance disappeared, it's important to understand the place where his story unfolded. Western Nebraska isn't just a backdrop, it's a character in this mystery. A landscape carved by rivers and storms, framed by towering bluffs that once guided pioneers west. It's a region steeped in history, quiet beauty, and small-town rhythms. To know where Chance vanished, you first have to see the world he walked into. The weather, the towns, the landmarks, and the hidden contrasts of a place that can feel both safe and isolating. Familiar, yet unforgiving. Imagine a land where golden sunsets blaze over rolling prairie and rugged bluffs rise like ancient guardians above the North Platte River. This is western Nebraska, the Gehring-Scott's Bluff area, where the story of Chance Engelbert unfolded. But it's also a place of rich history and quiet beauty, a place where people visit seeking contemplative escape, not danger. Perched atop the sandstone ridges of Scott's Bluff National Monument, you can still gaze out over the North Platte Valley exactly as emigrants did on the Oregon, California, and Mormon trails. These towering bluffs, rising nearly 800 feet, served as landmarks for more than 250,000 pioneers making their way west between 1943 and 1869. Now, visitors hike trails, absorb sweeping views, or explore geological wonders like Dome Rock and Saddle Rock. It's a place where history and landscape collide. And just below the monument lies Gehring, the town founded in 1887, now seamlessly part of a merged urban area that includes Scott's Bluff across the river. Gehring today is a trailblazer's haven, home to museums like the Legacy of the Plains, where interactive exhibits honor early settlers and Nebraska's agricultural past. Baseball under summer skies with the Western Nebraska Pioneers, and wild trails through the Wildcat Hills State Recreation Area, all within a few miles of downtown. Even the simplest pleasures thrive here. Start the day with made-from-scratch pastries at Gehring Bakery. Warm up with coffee at the Daily Grind. Savor a home-cooked meal at the Log Cabin Restaurant, or sip a beer at the Union Bar. All small slices of comfort in a town shaped by frontier spirit. Then there's Tarrytown, a small city nestled between Gehring and Scott's Bluff, right along the river's edge. Its population hovers around 1,000, living in the shadow of a grand landscape. It may appear quiet, but a deeper look at the numbers paints a layered picture. Property crime averages around 21 incidents per 1,000 residents, with an overall safety ranking that lingers below state and national averages. Violent crime rates are modest, but still present. Yet, beyond numbers, Tarrytown carries subtle charm. Terry's Lake is a peaceful haven ringed by picnic shelters, overlooked by the monument's silhouette, a reminder of life's quiet continuity amid bigger stories. A walking and biking path runs nearby, connecting the present to the echoes of pioneer routes that once ran through this valley. For visitors, Western Nebraska offers a profound blend of simplicity and revelation. The hush of badlands and trailside grass, the tangible traces of migration history, a place where stories are rooted in the land itself. Yet for Chance Engelbert, this landscape became the backdrop for a chilling mystery. A stark contrast between the beauty of the place and the fear that descended that evening. It was a storm-lashed terrain he knew little about, a place he walked into and never came out of. This is Chance's story. Chance Leslie Engelbert was born on December 2, 1993, to Don and Everett Engelbert. He was their first child, their oldest boy, and soon he would be joined by two younger brothers, Miles and Clay. Together, the three brothers grew up in Edgemont, South Dakota, on the family ranch. A life on the ranch isn't easy, but Chance, well, he loved every part of it. The long days, the wide open skies, the rhythm of hard work and fresh air. It shaped him, and it grounded him. From the time he was a little boy, he wanted to be one thing above all else, a cowboy. And he was. He loved hunting and fishing, long days outside where he could disappear into the hills and rivers. He loved building demolition derby cars, tinkering with engines, and then putting those cars to the ultimate test in the ring. And of course, he loved the rodeo. From the time he was small, Chance had his heart set on becoming a bareback rider. But when he was in the fifth grade, he was still too young to start. So instead of waiting, Chance chose something even tougher, bull riding. For 3 years, he threw himself into the sport. And by the time he reached eighth grade, he was finally old enough to step into the world he had dreamed of since childhood, the rodeo bareback. Chance's parents supported him wholeheartedly. His mom, Dawn, was always there, hauling him to practices, cheering in the stands, bandaging him when the sport left its marks. For Chance, rodeo wasn't just a hobby. It was who he was. And he was good at it. Very good. His talent didn't go unnoticed. Chance earned a full-ride rodeo scholarship to Laramie County Community College in Cheyenne, Wyoming. There, he studied welding and diesel mechanics, preparing for a future that blended both of his passions, the ranch and the rodeo. But even outside the arena, people remembered Chance as someone special. Well, he was shy at first, sometimes a little awkward, and he didn't always see just how talented he was. But beneath that was a young man with a sharp sense of humor, a hardworking spirit, and a heart that seemed bigger than the room. He could be a bit of a smartass when he wanted to be, but it always came with a smile. And it was always good-natured. Chance believed in paying it forward. He was the kind of person who would do anything for anyone, family, friends, or even strangers. He had a light about him. People noticed it when he walked into a room, and they remembered it when he left. Rodeo was his passion, but Chance had other loves too. His studies in welding opened the door to another outlet, building and competing in demolition derby cars. It was more than a pastime. It became a way to connect with his brothers, his friends, and his community. It was through this world that he met Matt Miller, who would quickly become his best friend. The two worked side by side in the mining industry, but their friendship was built on far more than work. They hunted together, fished together, and put countless hours into derby cars. Matt would later describe Chance as one of the hardest working people he had ever known. A man who had put in hours from sunup to sundown without complaint, and who always managed to stay positive no matter the circumstances. In October of 2017, Chance and Matt drove to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska to pick up two derby cars. But for Chance, there was another reason to make the trip. He had been talking online with a young nursing student named Bailey, and this was his chance to finally meet her face to face. Now, Bailey already knew of Chance. Her ex-boyfriend had done rodeo with one of Chance's younger brothers. But this was their first real meeting. Chance was nervous, but excited. And the moment they met, they clicked. The two began dating, and by all accounts, they were inseparable. Bailey later said Chance had the biggest heart of anyone she had ever known. And just a year later, in October of 2018, they were married in a small ceremony, choosing the anniversary of the day they first met. Not everyone remembered the wedding day the same way. There were tensions, especially between Bailey and Chance's family. His mom, Dawn, later said she didn't feel welcome, that she felt as though she wasn't supposed to be there. Others remember a small argument breaking out over whether members of Chance's family should be present. But even through these tensions, there was still love and excitement for what was ahead. And that future grew brighter when Bailey and Chance announced they were expecting their first child. Chance had always wanted to be a father. He dreamed of raising a child the way he had been raised, on the land, outdoors, teaching him to fish, to hunt, to work hard, and maybe even to ride a rodeo one day. On April 4th, 2019, their son Banks was born, and Chance was overjoyed. He couldn't wait to share his world with them. At the time, Bailey was in nursing school full-time, and Chance shouldered the responsibility of providing for the family. He had worked for years in the local mining industry until layoffs cut more than 600 jobs, including his. It was a hard hit, but Chance was resilient. Together with his best friend Matt, he soon found new work in the propane industry. Both were scheduled to start their new jobs on Monday, July 8th, 2019. In the meantime, Chance had saved enough to buy a home in Moorcroft, Wyoming, a tiny town of fewer than 1,000 people. For Chance, it was everything he wanted, a place of his own, in the country, where he could raise his son. But like any marriage, his and Bailey's had ups and downs. And Bailey would later describe their relationship as strong, saying they rarely fought and usually resolved disagreements quickly. But others remembered it differently. While living with a friend, DJ, before moving into their new house, arguments between the two were frequent. DJ recalled Bailey often accusing Chance of things he hadn't done, arguments that sometimes spiraled out of proportion. Chance's mother, Dawn, sometimes found herself caught in the middle. She urged the couple to consider counseling, hoping to smooth over the cracks. There were even times when Bailey called Dawn, upset and frustrated with Chance, leaving Dawn to gently suggest that maybe Bailey needed to step back or that both of them needed help working things out. By the summer of 2019, the marriage was strained, and the pressures of new parenthood and unemployment weighed heavily. Chance, usually so close to his mother, had argued with her just days before his disappearance, telling her she needed to stop meddling in his relationship. For the first time, he asked for space, at least a week without speaking to her. And though it was difficult, Dawn respected his wishes. So that weekend, instead of visiting the Engelbert Ranch as he normally would, Chance and Bailey decided to take their son to Gearing, Nebraska, to spend time with Bailey's family for the 4th of July holiday. It should have been an ordinary family visit, a summer weekend spent celebrating the holiday, enjoying their baby boy, preparing for Chance's new job on Monday. But it was during this trip, in Gearing, that everything would change. Within days, Chance Engelbert, the cowboy, the son, the brother, the husband, the father, would vanish. On the morning of Saturday, July 6th, 2019, Chance Engelbert woke up in Gearing, Nebraska, at his in-laws' home. Now, by all accounts, it started as an ordinary day. Chance spoke with several members of his family, including his father, Everett. He told him how excited he was to begin his new propane job on Monday, a fresh start after the mining layoffs. His dad mentioned that a package was waiting for him at the family ranch in South Dakota. Chance promised he'd come by the next day, July 7th, to pick it up. There's nothing unusual about that conversation. No sense of foreboding. Just a young man eager to start his new chapter. Later that afternoon, Chance joined his father-in-law Scott and his brother-in-law Kyler for a round of golf. The day was warm, clear, one of those long summer days in the high plains. They played their game, then sat on the patio with drinks in hand, chatting with local patrons and the staff that they knew. For a moment, everything seemed easy. Bailey later said that when she spoke to him on the phone during the game, he was in a great mood. He told her it was a beautiful day, and she decided to bring their baby, Banks, out to the course to join them. But when she arrived, everything had shifted. Chance was no longer smiling. He was angry. Something had been said, comments about his new job that struck a nerve. He bristled at them, frustrated, hurt. By the time Bailey pulled up with their son, Chance was done. He told her to get back in the car. They were leaving. They drove to Bailey's grandparents' house, arguing the entire way. Chance wanted to go home, back to Wyoming. And Bailey urged him to stay. When they arrived at the house, Chance got out. He didn't stay to argue. He just walked away. And that was around 7 p.m. Now, this wasn't unusual for Chance. Bailey later explained that when he was upset, he often took a walk to cool off. And yes, he'd been drinking on the golf course. That made reasoning with him harder. Still, Bailey wasn't immediately alarmed. But within 15 minutes, Chance made a phone call that would set a chain of events into motion. At 7:23, he called his best friend, Matt Miller, back in Wyoming. He told Matt he'd gotten into a fight with his in-laws and he wanted out. He asked for a ride home immediately. But Moorcroft was 4 hours away. Matt had been drinking and he couldn't make the drive. He remembered Chance sounding upset, but not drunk, just determined. He wanted to get the heck out of Nebraska, is what Matt recalled him saying. Shortly after, Chance called again. This time, he told Matt he was walking to Torrington, Wyoming, more than 35 miles away. Matt promised to see what he could do, to call around and try to find someone who could pick him up. At 7:45, Matt phoned Chance's mother, Dawn, to explain what was happening. He hoped maybe someone from the family could drive down and bring Chance home, but no one was close enough. The Engelberts reached out to a friend of Chance's, Larry, who lived across the street from Bailey. Larry called Bailey to try to piece together what was happening and told her she needed to call Chance's parents to let them know too. So Bailey called Everett, but told him not to worry. She said it wasn't a big deal, just a misunderstanding, that they were all out looking for him and she'd stay in touch. Bailey had been calling Chance, and at one point he answered. He told her he was walking toward Kimball, but whether he meant the town, which was in the opposite direction of Torrington, where he told Matt he was headed, or he meant the nearby road with the same name, well, that remains unclear. Perhaps he was just trying to throw her off his trail. At 7:51, Chance was captured on surveillance video in the small town of Tarrytown, just 2 miles from Gearing. The footage shows him walking northbound at the intersection of Martha Road and 10th Street. His phone is in his hand, and at one point, he looks down, then makes a sharp left turn, almost as if he's following directions on a map. His family later studied that video closely. What struck them was how normal he looked. Not stumbling, not belligerent, maybe upset, yeah, but not the drunken, out-of-control version Bailey had described. More cameras picked him up along the way. A Ring camera captured him passing a Domino's Pizza heading north. Another surveillance shot shows him near Dooley Oil, then later turning down Stable Club Road, caught on camera at the overhead door company. At 9:08 p.m., the last text message ever sent from Chance's phone went out. It was to his aunt, Katie. Now, the text contained a confusing jumble of letters, along with a grumpy face emoji. His family immediately knew something was wrong, because Chance never used emojis. It just wasn't like him. From that moment forward, Chance stopped answering his phone. Friends and family were calling, desperate to reach him. But there was nothing, just silence. The final ping from his phone came around 10 p.m., it placed him near County Road 19, west of Scott's Bluff, near the WTT truck stop. And at almost that exact same time, the weather shifted violently. A powerful storm swept across the region. Around 9 p.m., sheets of rain began to fall, and for nearly 45 minutes, the skies opened up, and an inch of rain fell in under an hour. The North Platte River, which runs directly through Tarrytown, rose 8 inches in a single night. The winds were howling, thunder cracking across the plains, lightning split the sky. And somewhere out there, in the middle of all of it, Chance was walking, alone. When the storm cleared, the night was quiet, too quiet, because after 10 p.m., Chance's phone went dark and has never been powered on again. From that moment forward, he was gone. That night, as the storm rolled over the Nebraska plains, Bailey's grandfather got into his car and drove the dark country roads looking for Chance. His headlights cut through the sheets of rain, sweeping over empty fields and gravel shoulders. There was no sign of him. A short time later, Bailey phoned Chance's family again. She explained that the weather was just too severe, that the storm made it impossible to keep searching, but promised they'd go back out as soon as it cleared. But by morning, Chance still hadn't come back. His absence stretched past the hours where it could be explained away. It wasn't a cooling off walk anymore. It was something else. So at last, Bailey filed a missing persons report with the Garing Police Department. She later said it took several calls for the case to be taken seriously. Her father, friends, neighbors, they all set out on foot, combing the surrounding area. And Bailey turned to Facebook, posting that Chance hadn't come home, pleading for help, hoping that someone had seen him, heard from him. And what followed was nothing short of massive. A search effort spanning 17 law enforcement agencies, hundreds of volunteers, and countless community members determined not to let Chance vanish without a fight. There were drones buzzing low over fields and tree lines, their infrared cameras scanning for heat signatures. Divers combed the dark waters of the North Platte River. Cadaver dogs were brought to lakes, ponds, and creek beds, sniffing for even the faintest trace. Horses and ATVs churned through muddy terrain, while boots pounded the ground in grid patterns. Over 147 people participated in ground searches. 2,400 acres of land were covered. From above, the Nebraska State Patrol and AirLink helicopter crews swept 380 miles of air searches. The lakes, 10 of them in all, were checked again and again. And yet, no sign of Chance. His best friend, Matt Miller, well, he never gave up. He and other volunteers retraced the path from the golf course to the river toward Torrington, searching more than 25 times. Still nothing. Not a shoe, not a wallet, not a shred of clothing. And then, a detail that sparked some quiet controversy. Just 2 days after Chance went missing, on July 9th, Bailey asked police for a death certificate. Now, to some, including investigators, that raised red flags. How could she want to close the book so soon, before they even knew if he was alive or dead? When questioned, Bailey explained that she was just 20 years old, with a baby to raise and no job. The death certificate would allow her access to life insurance and help support her son until she could find work. Investigators noted that Bailey and her family remained cooperative throughout the process. Grief and fear take strange shapes, and while many people said it seemed off, it was never treated as proof of guilt. As the months and years passed, leads grew cold. In 2021, hope flickered when a human bone was discovered in the region where Chance had disappeared. But eventually testing revealed it wasn't his. Then, on December 2nd, 2022, Chance's 29th birthday, his grandmother, Linda Kluner, made a bold move. She added $200,000 of her own money to the reward fund, desperate to break the silence. Now, the offer carried an expiration date of 1 year. She believed if someone knew something, 12 months would be more than enough time for them to come forward. But by Chance's 30th birthday, the reward expired, unclaimed. Today, a $20,000 reward still remains. In 2024, a new path opened. Chance's family hired RD Investigations, and soon after, new leads emerged. One of them came from a former clerk at a convenience store in Scottsbluff, just 2 miles where Chance was last caught on surveillance. Now, the man swore he remembered seeing Chance between 8:30 and 9 p.m., just before the brunt of the storm hit. He described Chance vividly. Shirt damp from light rain, ID showing South Dakota, a pack of tobacco, and a Monster Energy drink in hand. The clerk even teased him about being a crazy South Dakotan out in a Nebraska storm. But what stood out most was what he noticed beforehand. And he claimed Chance had been speaking tensely with another man in the back of the store. While the clerk rang up Chance, his co-worker checked out the other man. Later, he saw that man leave in an unidentified vehicle. But he couldn't say if Chance went with him or if he continued on foot. And the storm by then was unleashing its fury. Thunder shaking the glass, lightning splitting the sky, rain hammering rooftops, until the town itself lost power. And then there was another curious report. Witnesses described two young women, mid-20s, so beautiful they looked like models, running down a road near Five Rocks and Stable Club, about a mile from that same store. It was around 9 p.m., just as the storm broke wide open. The women were frantic, yelling for help. And moments later, they climbed into a white two-door pickup towing a boat. They did seem to know the driver, though. What they were running from, or to, remains a mystery. Were their paths linked with Chance's that night? Or was it just another strange, unconnected piece of a puzzle that refuses to come together? Perhaps they were just running from the storm. All we know for certain is that Chance Engelbert walked away on July 6, 2019, into a storm and into a mystery that still haunts western Nebraska. For all the boots on the ground, the helicopters in the sky, and the hours spent scouring every inch of land and water, there are no answers. No footprints leading forward. No trail to follow. Just a young father who never came home. And when the search for evidence turns up empty, something else always takes its place. Speculation, whispers, theories. Was Chance swept away by the river that rose nearly 8 inches that night? Did he encounter the wrong person at the wrong time? Or could he have chosen to disappear on his own? The questions are as endless as the Nebraska horizon. And the answers? Well, they remain just out of reach. Let's walk through those theories. Some of the earliest speculation, and perhaps one of the most haunting theories, is that Chance may have fallen into, or inadvertently wandered into, the North Platte River. On that night, the rain was pounding. The North Platte, already rising, surged even higher. Its once calm surface turned treacherous by floodwaters and fierce rain bands. It's a theory that makes visceral sense. A man walking in the dark, alone in a storm, wet, disoriented, could slip, lose his footing, and be swept into the murmuring strangeness of water. But to his mother, this idea feels impossible. Not for Chance. She said, "I don't know what could have happened, but I know that didn't happen." She spoke of her son's prowess in the outdoors. A bareback rodeo competitor with strength, calm, and experience navigating difficult terrain. To believe he succumbed to the river is to ignore the man she knew. Even beyond maternal instinct, investigators and friends agree. A seasoned rancher, an athlete, a man whose body and spirit had been tested in dust, mud, and the spinning chaos of rodeo. Chance didn't just walk unprepared into danger. The private investigator, working closely with Dawn, told reporters bluntly he did not fall off the bridge. And Chance did not decide to go for a swim in the middle of the storm. But we know storms can kill. Cold water can bring hypothermia. Lightning can strike without warning. Vision can fail, footing can disappear. Yet if those forces were responsible, where is his body? For someone of Chance's physicality, submerged or swept away, there should be something. One fragment, one clue. But absolutely nothing was found, despite exhaustive searches of rivers, ravines, and ravaged shorelines. One volunteer searcher said, "We traversed canyons and ravines filled with brush, through high grass and weed-covered banks of the North Platte River. It wasn't easy. He's not here." Even after hundreds of volunteers, drones, divers, cadaver dogs, horses, ATVs, and grid-footed search parties scoured the terrain, still nothing was discovered. So the question lingers, could Chance have been swallowed by the river's rush? Or is this just a cruel echo in a mystery that slips further into shadow with every unanswered search? The theory of foul play can whisper itself into the edges of a mystery when no path seems to lead home. In Chance's case, the idea settles like a shadow. Perhaps he didn't vanish into the night by accident, but was led there by someone else. Imagine this, Chance, disoriented, walking under a storm-dark sky, follows directions on his phone, not knowing what or who lies just beyond the streetlight. Maybe he was picked up by a passing vehicle, offering a ride home. Seemed harmless enough. Tarrytown, where Chance was last seen, is no urban war zone, but property and violent crime ratings are above those of many Nebraska towns. Overall safety gets a D- in property crime, a C in violent crime, and areas on the city's east side have notably higher rates. The odds of encountering serious criminal intent are low, but not impossible. One theory, raised in a January 2022 police interview, included the possibility of a robbery gone wrong. Investigators acknowledged multiple versions of the story circulated, different people, different circumstances, but nothing conclusive enough to charge anyone. And consider the erratic nature of storms. Under flickering streetlights, crashing thunder, a disoriented passerby walking with a map in hand? Well, that's an easy target. Words exchanged, one misstep, one cold glare, a dare, a flash of anger, and the situation could turn violent or irreversibly dangerous. Maybe someone saw a man groggy, frustrated, and thought they could exploit that moment. Or maybe an argument spiraled. Chance was known to be a little feisty when pushed. He could have responded with a quip, a shove, anything that could provoke trouble. And then, gone. His mother, Dawn, refused to accept the idea that Chance simply vanished. She stated publicly, "You just don't vanish like that. There has to be foul play. I want answers." And these are not empty words. They come from a place shaped by knowing who Chance was, his strength, his orientation toward control, even in chaos. Without a body, without a shred of evidence to mark where he was taken, the theory remains speculative. But speculations are born from emptiness and silence, and sometimes that emptiness is the loudest clue of all. In the days, weeks, and years that followed his disappearance, Chance's vanishing fractured two families. Rumors spread like wildfire across whispers and social media, many pointing fingers at Bailey and her family. But what remains fact? What remains speculation? We're going to step carefully into that delicate territory. The night Chance disappeared began as a family gathering. Moments later, he walked away in anger. That break and the stress of what was to become left a wound between the Engelberts and Bailey's family. Bitter rumors emerged, alleging that Bailey's family might have had a hand in what happened. There were even claims that fresh concrete had been poured shortly after he vanished. But investigators were quick to debunk those rumors. Now, despite the tension, law enforcement sources say that all parties, Bailey and her family, have cooperated fully. Investigators interviewed everyone, searched their properties, and found no evidence to indicate any wrongdoing. The lead investigator, Brian Eads of the Gering Police, confirmed these efforts repeatedly. Although no proof has ever surfaced linking Bailey or her family to Chance's disappearance, the Engelberts have not seen their grandson, Banks, since the rumors started. Dawn Engelbert said it well when she said, "The thing I've learned about a missing person case, it brings out a lot of evil, drama, and no one trusts anyone. The families just want answers and teamwork." The many who follow the case online continue to speculate. On Reddit, one voice captures the vulnerability, the danger of unsourced suspicions, writing, "I know a lot of people are blaming his wife because of comments she's made, but I do feel her family knows what happened. They just poured fresh concrete." Another added, "Any logical person would look at her and her family first. Unless there's some reason to completely eliminate them as suspects, they should stay on board, along with all the other theories." But on the flip side, thoughtful skepticism thrives as well. There's nothing to support her family's involvement. Bailey and her family have been fully cooperative. Meanwhile, Bailey said she's received death threats, and that's why she's no longer giving media interviews. Now, this theory lodges itself in the gaps. Absence of proof, lingering pain, fractured trust. But as investigators stress again and again, cooperation is ongoing and exhaustive. There are no forensics or physical evidence tying Bailey's family to any wrongdoing. Still, that tension remains, woven into every unanswered question. Was the rift purely emotional? A fallout after Chance walked off? Or was it something darker? Without evidence, it remains suspended in the air between grief and guilt. Now, another theory, one that lingers on the edge of every missing person's case. Could Chance have chosen to disappear? Could he have simply walked away, leaving behind his old life, his responsibilities, his family? Some suggest that maybe he left to start over somewhere new. Others whisper that maybe despair drove him to take his own life. It's a theory no one wants to believe, but one that has to be asked. Yet, when investigators looked closer, they found little to support it. Since the night Chance vanished, there's been no activity on his bank account, no charges to his credit card, no sign of his car being moved, and no new trail on his phone. His digital footprint, once ordinary and traceable, stopped completely. It was as though Chance vanished into the storm and left nothing behind. And for those who knew him best, the idea of Chance walking away feels impossible. His mother, Dawn, has spoken many times about the kind of man her son was. She points to the love he had for his infant son. He was excited about starting his new job that Monday, the pride in providing for his young family. Dawn insists her son wouldn't have abandoned all of that, saying, "I don't know what happened, but I know he didn't just leave his baby boy." And those closest to him agree. Chance was no stranger to challenges. He had been a rodeo competitor, someone who knew grit and endurance, someone used to holding on tight when life bucked and twisted beneath him. He wasn't the type to turn his back on his responsibilities, not when his family and his future were waiting. The suicide theory also falters under the weight of the evidence. No note, no preparation, no signs in the days leading up to his disappearance that he was struggling to that degree. Instead, those who spoke to him, his father, his friends, remember him sounding optimistic. He was ready to begin the next chapter, not end it. Still, investigators can't rule it out completely. History has shown that people sometimes carry hidden pain. And Chance's sudden walk into the evening during a fight could fit into a narrative of rashness and despair. The storm, the darkness, the frustration, did it all become too much in that one moment? It's unlikely. And if that were true, the river, the storm, the land should have yielded some clue by now. A body, a piece of clothing, something. But after extensive searches, after dogs and divers, after miles of terrain combed again and again, there's been nothing. Not a single trace. So while the theory exists, while it haunts the background of this story, it remains just that, a shadow, unproven. And for many who loved Chance, well, it's unthinkable. So if Chance didn't drown, if he wasn't the victim of foul play, and if he didn't choose to vanish on his own, then the question remains, where is he? Chance's story is full of mystery. But beneath the unanswered questions, it's a painful reminder of the everyday decisions and situations that can spiral into danger. So let's talk about safety. Not in a way that suggests Chance could have prevented what happened to him. We don't know that, and maybe we never will. But because his story gives us a chance to think about our own lives, our own choices, and the way we move through the world. The night chance disappeared. A storm swept through the western Nebraska plains. Not a drizzle or passing rain, but a real Midwestern thunderstorm. Sheets of water fell hard and fast, the kind that soaks you in seconds. Lightning cracked across the sky, the winds whipped against the flat open land. The North Platte River rose high in less than an hour. If you've ever been caught in a storm out here, it's difficult to imagine how quickly things can turn dangerous. Plain storms don't creep in, they explode across the horizon. One moment, the air feels heavy, almost electric. And the next, you're in the middle of blinding rain, deafening thunder, and winds strong enough to push you off balance. When you're in unfamiliar territory, those risks multiply. You don't know where the riverbanks drop off. You don't know which roads flood. You don't know where shelter might be or how far away it is. And when night falls, every landmark disappears, leaving you disoriented in the dark. So how do you stay safe when the sky turns against you? First, pay attention to the warnings. Most phones today can alert you to severe weather in real time. If you're traveling, especially in rural areas, make sure those alerts are turned on. They can give you precious extra minutes when you need to seek shelter. Second, if you're already caught in the storm, the priority is shelter. A sturdy building is best. If that's not an option, a vehicle is far safer than being exposed on foot. Now, what you want to avoid is being the tallest thing in an open field. Now, lightning looks random, but it often strikes the highest point. Now, out on the plains, that could be you. Third, avoid rivers, streams, and low-lying areas. Heavy rain can swell water levels fast, and flash floods, well, they're silent killers. The riverbank may look solid, but wet soil crumbles quickly. One single misstep could pull you into water that is stronger and colder than you expect. Now, hypothermia can set in faster than you might think, especially in wet clothing, even in summer months. And finally, stay visible. If you're walking, keep to lit areas. Use your phone's flashlight. Let someone know exactly where you are, even if it's just a quick text. Storms can separate you from your bearings, but they don't have to separate you from help. Chance knew the outdoors. He was strong, capable, but even the most experienced outdoorsman can be humbled by a storm, especially in unfamiliar territory, at night, and under stress. Chance vanished over the 4th of July weekend. Holidays can be chaotic. There's drinking, fireworks, crowds, and too often, tempers that can flare. Small conflicts can quickly become bigger than they should. Arguments happen. They're part of being human, part of being in relationships. But sometimes, especially during stressful times like holidays, family gatherings, or when alcohol is involved, those arguments can burn hotter than they should. On the night Chance disappeared, he argued with his in-laws and his wife. Words flew, tempers flared, and in that moment, Chance made a choice. He got out of the car and walked away. Now for Bailey, she said that wasn't unusual. She said Chance would sometimes walk to cool off, to give himself space. Walking away from conflict is healthy, gives you a chance to breathe, to prevent a bad situation from getting worse. But when you walk away without a plan, without a safe place to land, it can put you in even greater danger. You're upset. Your judgment is clouded. Maybe you've been drinking. Maybe you're in a town you don't know well. Every step takes you further from people who care about you and closer to strangers who don't. Now, in Chance's case, it was nearly dark in a small Nebraska town he didn't know, with a severe storm brewing overhead. That's not just cooling off. That's isolation. If you feel the need to step away, don't just disappear. Tell someone where you're going. Take your phone. Choose a destination. Even if it's just a gas station, a diner, or a friend's house. Let the person you're with know that you're safe and that you just need time. That way, they're not left to panic, and you're not left wandering into the unknown. If alcohol or tempers are high, remember that walking away isn't about proving a point. It's about keeping yourself safe. And there are ways to do that without cutting yourself off completely. Call someone you trust. Ask for a ride. Even sitting in your car with the engine off can be safer than setting off on foot into the night. Because here's the truth. Anger fades. Fights end. But once you walk into the dark in a place you don't know, the consequences, they can last forever. Chance didn't know that night would be the last anyone saw him. And we can't say for certain what might have happened if he'd stayed in the car. But what we do know is, when you walk away, make sure you're walking towards safety, not away from it. And finally, traveling to visit family or in-laws. These trips can be stressful. Different personalities, old tensions, new expectations. It's not always easy. And in travel fatigue, long drives, and unfamiliar surroundings, emotions can run high. If you find yourself in a similar situation, build in breaks and keep a cool head. Remember that it's temporary. Step outside to breathe, take a short drive, or call a trusted friend. Remind yourself that the stress of the moment will pass. It's safer to pause than to storm off unprepared. And Chance's disappearance is a tragedy, but it's also a reminder. Storms roll in, fights happen, holidays get hectic. And sometimes the smallest decision, stepping into the rain, walking down the wrong road, leaving without a plan, can change everything. Take a breath, think ahead, protect yourself. And remember that the people who love you, who are waiting for you, would rather you cool off safely than take a step that leaves only questions behind. Every morning, Dawn Engelbert wakes up with the same weight in her chest, the same knot in her stomach. She wonders if today will be the day she finally learns what happened to her son. And yet she knows that even if she gets that answer, it won't erase the questions that will always remain. The question of why. Why a young man with so much promise, so much love for his family, for the outdoors, for life, vanished into the night. Chance Engelbert was just 25 years old when he went missing on July 6, 2019. He was a son, a brother, a husband, a father, and a friend. His absence has left a wound that time cannot heal. When he was last seen, Chance was wearing a short-sleeve button-up Wrangler shirt in a grayish-purple tone, dark blue Wrangler jeans, rope-style boots, and a black-and-white trucker hat. He's a white male, 5 feet 9 inches, 195 pounds, with hazel eyes and brown hair. If you know anything, no matter how small it may seem, please come forward. Even the tiniest detail could be the missing piece his family has been waiting for. You can contact the Gehring Police Department at 308-436-5088 or the Scotts Bluff County Sheriff's Office at 308-436-6667. You can also submit anonymous tips at 724-466-4673 or 866-660-4025. Chance's story is more than just a mystery. It's a reminder of how quickly an ordinary evening can turn into a lifetime of unanswered questions. His family deserves answers. His son deserved to know what happened to his father. And Chance deserves to come home. If you're listening, if you've been holding on to something, now is the time to speak. Don't let silence be the final word in Chance Engelbert's story. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.